Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get unbeatable flavor and value delivered right to your door. They have an unmatched selection of perfectly portioned proteins, including USDA certified tender, steaks, burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and more. All flash frozen at their moment of peak quality. Then quickly delivered to your door in a dependable cooler. So a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast. Omaha Steaks practically invented meat delivery, and they've been perfecting the art of premium proteins for over 100 years. With their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can order with complete confidence. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference, a better, more convenient way to buy proteins. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
Off the ball.
Rugby.
I'd say their primary thinking last week was just to give him a run, see how he is. And then they would have seen how he played and gone, whoa, that's an option. Because he's a big game player. He's got X factor. He's got the best offloading game in Irish rugby.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we look ahead to tonight's League of Ireland action, including our live commentary game between Drogheda and Dundalk. City confirm Pep Guardiola will leave after Sunday's final game of the season. On the same day, United announced Michael Carrick has agreed a 2-year deal. And Carla Ward names her Ireland squad for the World Cup qualifiers against the Netherlands and France. But first, Dundalk boss Ciarán Kilduff says he wants the atmosphere to be electric for tonight's loud derby away to Drogheda. Dundalk go to the rivals in the back of a big win over Premier Division leaders and champion Shamrock Rovers last Friday. Speaking to Virgin Media ahead of the game, Kilduff says he expects the game to be a special occasion.
Purity to the rivalry, it means so much, and I also think what's rare is wonderful. You know, there's a lot of Dublin derbies and stuff like that, but this one, you know, as I said, it's only the second in 2 years. But unsavoury scenes, maybe the last fixture as well, but it always seems to come with, we don't want any scenes like that or anything like that ever again, but there's it's a proper rivalry. It does capture the imagination a little bit as well of the wider public when it is, you know, we need that in football, you know, and I've said enough times, Drogheda need Dundalk and Dundalk need Drogheda for these nights.
Drogheda were beaten by bottomside Waterford last Monday, leaving them in 8th place, 6 points behind their rivals. Kick-off at Sullivan and Lamb Park is 8 o'clock. You can hear live and exclusive commentary on Off the Ball and News Talk and the Go Loud app from 7. Stephen Doyle will be joined by Keith Tracy in the commentary box. Elsewhere, champion Shamrock Rovers will look to bounce back from that loss in Dundalk when they face Sligo Rovers at Talla Stadium. Sligo won that fixture at the end of last season to secure their Premier Division status. Graeme Coughlan got his first win as Waterford boss last Monday. They travelled to Talca Park to take on Shelburne. Shells haven't won a home game this season, but they did manage a win in Dublin last week when they beat St Pat's 1-0 at Richmond Park. Tiernan Lynch's Derry City welcome St Pat's to Celtic Park this evening. Derry haven't won since they beat Shamrock Rovers at the same venue back in April. Pats are still just 3 points off Rovers at the top, despite their loss against Shells last week. Galway United stopped a run of 5 without a win when they beat Sligo Rovers 4-1 last weekend. They face a Bohemian side who have won back-to-back games after going without a win in their previous 9. And this week, their captain Dawson Devoy was called up to the Ireland squad for the games with Qatar and Canada, but he won't be available for the Qatar game. Devoy told the Bows in-house media channel it was a proud day for him and his family.
It was obviously a really surreal day. When Rennie told me, I think it was the Saturday that I was in the squad, and then obviously to tell me family and all, they were obviously so happy for me. And yeah, then the squad was announced Sunday, so it was a really proud day for myself and my family, yeah, so it was nice.
On this week's LOI pod, Ben Symes was joined by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn, and the three lads spoke about the intensity levels in the league, especially after last weekend's game between Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers.
At times it's not as exciting. So the game on Friday was a bit of a throwback in terms of the intensity it was played at. A lot of League of Ireland games aren't played at that same intensity. But there's no doubt the league is strengthened. Whether the top team going back to the last 20 years, you think the great Shelburne team under Fenlon or Bowes team under Roddy, Dundalk, McKenny, would they be better than the current Rovers team? Who cares? That's for other people to worry about. But there's no doubt the intensity is different.
Ben and Vinny, do you not think, right, the word intensity, do you not think, especially at the beginning of the season with so many games, that they're not able to get to the intensity levels Friday, Monday?
But that doesn't mean it's not there. And it was, when we played once a week, there was a bit more intensity in terms of, and that was stylistically, a lot more teams moved the ball back to front quicker than they are now. And there's a little bit like, I'm not saying everyone has gone to the sort of ticky-tacky football or anything like that, but it's a different game now. And it's overanalyzed, as you said.
But I think it comes down to styles, Vinny. I mean, last week, right, I was looking at the Pat Shells game and only watched the highlights. But when I saw that game from last week, I said, that's one that if I was a neutral in Dublin, I would want to go and watch because of the styles of both managers. Both managers are intense, they're aggressive, and they're attacking styles. So it would turn into a bit of a basketball game. You would get more one-on-ones, you would get more chances, more crosses, more of the good stuff in football. Whereas you go now and look at other teams with their styles, when the styles don't match up, it just becomes a drabby, slow, real hard watch. And maybe, yes, we're always getting a few of them, but we need to get more aggressive styles within the league, I think.
It's a bit like, Ben, you go to the Premiership. I went to a Brighton game a couple of months ago. I nearly fell asleep. The barn.
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
some people like it. That's fine.
Jesus, Vinny. Nobody likes that. I've been over to Liverpool as well this year. It's horrible to watch. Horrible. I'd rather go and watch that Dundalk Shamrock Rovers and Derry up in Celtic Park. Those sort of games are unbelievable to watch. Really, really good. And as you say, it's a kickback to the good old days.
What we've got to be careful of is, right, so there's not, like, you can't get 40 or 50,000 going to pay in to watch Dundalk and Rovers. Well, I'll tell you what, if that game was played in a 40,000 stadium and there was proper, you know, TV around it, advertising around it, it's as good a game as I've seen in a long time. And I mean, I get on the plane, I'm a bit of an anorak. I get into the plane the other time, fly into Gatwick and take two bus stops up to Cawley and watch them play in League 2, League 1. I do a lot of that stuff. And that game was as good as a lot of games, whether it's been a Premiership game or whatever that I've seen. I accept it's not the same quality, but in terms of entertainment value, I Ben, at the end, I was shouting quite a lot, wasn't I? Like, because, well, we were getting above the crowd as well. But it was a game you were really engaged in, wasn't it? Like, in terms of matches you go to, like, it was, you have to hear it, Gareth, it was really good atmosphere.
That's available to listen back to now in your OTB football podcast feed for free. First division leaders Cork City have a 5-point lead at the top ahead of their trip to Athlone Town. UCD go for 4 wins in a row when they take on Wexford. Third place Bray Wanderers are away to Kerry. Treaty United go up against Cove Ramblers and Finn Harps face Longford.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
It's official now that Pep Guardiola will leave Manchester City this summer. The Catalan, who joined the club in 2016, is one of the Premier League's most successful ever managers. He has won 20 major trophies across the decade in charge. City will celebrate Guardiola's time with them after their final game of the season, which is against Aston Villa at the Etihad on Sunday. City won 6 league titles under the 55-year-old, but they missed out on top honours this season to Arsenal and to Liverpool last season. Former Chelsea boss Enzo Maresca, who was an assistant of Guardiola at City, is expected to replace him. The other news from Manchester today is that Michael Carrick will stay on as Manchester United boss on a 2-year deal. The former United midfielder was appointed back in January until the end of the season after Ruben Amorim was sacked. Carrick's been rewarded with the full-time role after securing a return to the Champions League and a third-place finish. Speaking ahead of the announcement, Carrick says there's plenty to do if they want to continue pushing forward.
It's never finished. It's never the finished article. It's definitely not in terms of where we want to be as a football club. I think we're moving in a good direction. I think momentum, positivity and improvements is always, whether that's sometimes it's staff, sometimes it's playing squad, sometimes it's new ideas, and just keep evolving as much as we possibly can as a club.
Ireland boss Carlo Ward has named a squad of 25 players for the final round of World Cup qualifiers next month. Jesse Stapleton and Hayley Nolan are back in the squad after missing the back-to-back wins over Poland last month. Denise O'Sullivan and Emily Murphy are also included. Both players are suspended for the game against the Netherlands at Porky Cueve on the 5th of June. Ireland's last game of the campaign is against France in Grenoble on the 9th. Ireland are already guaranteed a place in the playoffs, which begin in October. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta has challenged his players to write some history by adding the Champions League to their Premier League title. The Gunners will lift the trophy after Sunday's game away to Crystal Palace, and then focus will turn to facing holders PSG in next weekend's European final. Arteta says he's confident his side can finish an incredible season in style.
We're going to prepare that game with the intention to win and write a new story in the club's history, that's for sure. We know what it's going to mean. We need to earn it. We need to prepare so well. I'm really confident that that we're going to get there in the best possible place.
On the football show last night, writer and broadcaster Dion Fanning joined Owen Sheehan, and he said the scenes at the Emirates Stadium on Tuesday night mean so much, especially for those people in North London.
What about the scenes afterwards? I felt that there was like this explosion of sort of red around the Emirates Stadium on Tuesday night. Maybe it's because it just hasn't happened in over two decades. But I don't know, there was something quite surprising about how widespread this whole thing was, and even just the content on social media. Maybe a lot of Arsenal fans coming out of the woodwork, exposing themselves as Arsenal fans over the past couple of days. But it just kind of felt like deeply significant, which every Premier League title is. But even just that level of energy, the level of sort of meaningfulness about this Premier League title for so many people, that kind of caught me off guard.
Did
a
it?
Little bit. Yeah. I'm not sure, maybe the cultural importance of Arsenal, you completely distill down to the idea of them being, you know, perennial second placers, as they have been over the past couple of years, and then the entire club gets wrapped up in that, and your view of the club gets wrapped up in that. But actually, over these past couple of days, it kind of felt like something really important.
And I think there's something I agree with you. There's something about seeing people on the street, seeing people out in the neighbour, in North London, around the stadium especially, that makes you realise, actually, you know, all these football clubs in England, like, no matter what they've become, they are all still rooted, especially clubs like Arsenal, Liverpool winning it last year, they're all still rooted in where they're from and where they are. And I know, you know, they've moved from Highbury to the Emirates, but it's, you know, that part of North London, it means something. And if you're ever in, you know, when you're ever there, you know that from just, you know, the little signs of like people who support Arsenal, like it goes way beyond. That's the thing, the online version of what you're getting, or even the stadium version of what you're getting, isn't in any, is just a small percentage of who is supporting Arsenal. Because, you know, if you're watching it on television, you forget that all around these places are people who, like, have supported those clubs for, you know, 40, 50 years, for generations. Like, and Arsenal are one of those clubs that, you know, have such, like, is such a huge support in London. And it's meaningful for so many people. So I think and I do think there's something significant in the fact that, like, we had Liverpool win it last year, Arsenal win it this year. It's also, you know, okay, it's a huge club, but it's different.
Liverpool boss Arne Slot won't confirm if Mohamed Salah will make a final appearance at Anfield this Sunday against Brentford. The Egyptian appeared to criticise his manager earlier this week, calling on social media for a return to the heavy metal style of football they played under Jurgen Klopp. Slot says he isn't taking the comments to heart and that the focus remains on securing Champions League qualification.
I think Mo and I have both the same interest. We want the best for this club. We want the club to be as successful as possible. We were both part of giving our fans their first league title again after 5 years. But we're also aware, all of us, that we didn't brought the same level this season.
And with rumours still surrounding the future of Arne Slot, Dion Fanning says perhaps the Liverpool hierarchy might give the Dutch coach a bit more time.
Now I see again this evening the people are saying that, you know, Liverpool's position hasn't changed because there was a day of rumours about Iriola coming in. But I would say that their position hasn't changed is the position until their position changes. Mm-hmm. And then it's changed. And then it's not going to change 3 days before the last match of the season. It's very hard to know because I think there's part of Liverpool that actually feels that there is a huge gamble. And when they look at it coldly and analytically, I think there's a huge gamble in appointing any manager. And that includes Iriola. Because I think there's a big jump from coming from Bournemouth to Liverpool. And I think there was something actually Guardiola said. There was a clip of Guardiola I saw during the week. And it was kind of interesting. And he was just dismissive of any team that wasn't playing twice a week. Like, in trying to assess any team that isn't, you know, when you're playing once a week, you're not really, this is not the game that they're at. Like, playing twice a week is when you actually find out about a manager, how you maneuver a squad, how you keep them going. So that is the big, it's not so much even what Bournemouth have done this season and the leap and the step up, but just that's the huge unknown. So I think Liverpool possibly are looking at that going, we don't know what's going to happen if we change the manager. There are other levers we can pull whilst keeping the manager. That will mean that, you know, Liverpool's season will be better next year. So if we get the signings right, if they're in the Champions League, if they do all these things, then the manager, the head coach, which is a significant thing as well, the head coach can be just one factor among many. And this is a club with the highest wage bill in the Premier League now as well. So, like, they're massively underachieving. But they may think, right, there are certain factors here that... mean that, you know, the next season will be better and we don't need to take this gamble.
And that's available to listen back to now in your OTB football podcast feed. Become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Martin O'Neill says he doesn't know if tomorrow's Scottish Cup final against Dunfermline will be his last game in management. The 74-year-old returned to the club in January and has already won Celtic's 56th league title after last weekend's dramatic win over Hearts on the final day. O'Neill admits he's had very little recent contact with majority shareholder Dermot Desmond, leaving his future unclear.
I saw him for a couple of minutes in the tunnel at the game for a moment or two, and that's the first time I've spoken to him for some time. But I was not expecting anything anyway, and certainly not this week. Anything that we want to be discussing would be after Saturday.
Trent Alexander-Arnold, Phil Foden, Cole Palmer and Harry Maguire have all been left out of the England squad for the World Cup. Thomas Tuchel has named a 26-man group for the tournament in North America. Jed Spence, Ivan Toney, Dan Byrne and Jarrell Kwanzaa are all surprise inclusions. Kobbie Mainoo and Ollie Watkins are also in. There's no place for the top-scoring English players in the Premier League. Danny Welbeck and Morgan Gibbs-White, will Jarrod Bowen and Luke Shaw also miss out. And former Chelsea captain Cesar Azpilicueta has announced his retirement from football. The Spaniard won every major trophy with Chelsea across 508 appearances, including two Premier League titles and the Champions League. The 36-year-old also lifted silverware with Marseille, and he spent his final seasons in Spain with Atletico Madrid and Sevilla. Azpilicueta says it's time to start a new chapter after living his dream. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with more next week.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.